Welcome to day 303. We are up to Perek Bey's Mishnah Tesvav. And today's Mishnah is really continuing along very similar lines as to that which we saw previously. So as a brief reminder, in the last Mishnah we saw a case in which two different types of yeast fall into a batch of dough. You have truma yeast and you have kilayim yeast, and neither one on its own is enough to cause the dough to rise, but together they do. So then this question is, what's the status of that dough? Does it have the status of truma? Does it have the status of kilayim? Who's allowed to partake of it? Who is not? And then we had a machlokas. All of that will be replicated in today's Mishnayos. In the first Mishnah, instead of talking about yeast, we're going to talk about spices. As we've seen a few times throughout this perek, spices and yeast are the major exceptions to lechus nullification. So long as yeast and spices leave their mark on a dish, they cannot be nullified. So in the last Mishnah, we saw the case by yeast. Now we're going to see it by spices. And again, we're going to see the same formula in both Mishnayos today. Two things get mixed into a normal thing. The two things, one of them is allowed to be eaten by a Kohen, and the other one's not allowed to be eaten by anyone. What's the status? They don't have enough power on their own, but together they combine. So what? We're going to see that in both cases. Says Mishnah Tesvav, Tavlin shel truma vishel kilaya kerem. Imagine you have truma spices and you have kilaim spices. Let's talk about, let's say, pepper. You have truma pepper and you have kilaim pepper. Shenaflu bakadera, and they both fall into a dish that is cooking. Loba elu kedetavel, neither one on its own is enough to give flavor to the dish. The truma pepper isn't strong enough to flavor the dish on its own, and the kilayim pepper isn't enough to flavor the dish on its own. Vinitstarfu vitivlu, but when they combine together, then there is enough pepper, and then it does flavor the dish. So what's the halacha? Says the Mishnah, Aser Lazarim, first of all, we've seen this before, that a non-Kohen is certainly not allowed to partake of this dish. Why not? Because even though neither type of pepper was enough to cause to give the dish flavor, still, each one on its own, to begin with, was not allowed to be eaten by a non-Kohen. Kilayim is not allowed to be eaten by anyone, and Truma can only be eaten by a Kohen. It is not allowed to be eaten by a non-Kohen. So what the Mishnah is telling us is, don't look at it as Truma pepper and Kilayim pepper. Now you should look at it as a bunch of pepper that is not allowed to be eaten by a non-Kohen. And that was always true, and therefore they do combine, and a non-Kohen would not be allowed to eat it. But umutzer lekohanim, but a Kohen would be allowed to eat it. Why? Because a Kohen is allowed to eat at least one of those things. There isn't that common denominator in which you say, well, it's pepper that's not allowed to be eaten by a Kohen. No, a Kohen is allowed to be eaten one of those things. He's allowed to eat the truma pepper. Granted, he's not allowed to eat the kilayim pepper, but there wasn't enough within the kilayim pepper to actually give the dish flavor on its own. And therefore, because the Kohen is allowed to eat one of those types of peppers, the truma pepper, they will not combine. There isn't that common denominator, and therefore there wasn't enough in the kilayim pepper to give it flavor. The Kohen is allowed to partake of that dish. Rabbi Shimon, Matcha Lazarim Bilakohanim. Rabbi Shimon, just like we saw previously, says no, both a Kohen and a non-Kohen is allowed to partake of it, because Rabbi Shimon, just like he said a few times already, Rabbi Shimon believes that things can't combine unless they really are identical. It's the same spice, let's say they're both pepper, and it's the same iser, they're both truma, or they're both kilayim, or they're both orla. If not, then they cannot combine, and therefore a Kohen and a non-Kohen would be allowed to partake. Whereas the Chachamim, the first opinion we've seen a few times, they disagree. They say, oh, if only one of those factors are similar, then they can combine. Either they're both the same spice, like the example that we gave, they're both pepper, or they're different spices, but they have the same iser. They're both orla, or they're both kilayim, or they're both truma. So the Chachamim will say they can combine in this case, whereas Rabbi Shimon will say they can't. That is Mishnah Tesvav. And now in Mishnah Tesayin, we're going to see something very similar, just in a different realm of halacha. Chaticha shel katshei kadashim, shel pigel v'shel nosar, shenishbashlu imechatichos. I know I read a lot there, but it all reads more smoothly that way as one phrase. So this is the case. Imagine you have this big pot of meat that's cooking regular meat, and then two additional pieces of meat fall into that pot. The first type is kadshei kadashim, is meat of a korban, something that was only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. That falls into the pot of meat. And then, additionally, you have another piece that falls in, either pigul or nosar. Those are two different things that would invalidate the meat of a korban. Nosar is meat of a korban that was left beyond the time in which you're allowed to eat the korban. Usually there's a time limit, usually overnight. Once it's beyond that, you are not allowed, no one is allowed to partake of that meat anymore. It has to be burned. That's nosar. Pigul is when you bring the korban actually correctly, but you had in mind something that would invalidate it, which is really interesting. Meaning simply having it in mind would actually invalidate the korban. So you did it all properly, but while you were doing it, you had in mind to eat it outside of the normal time, or the appropriate time. Or you had in mind to do something wrong, halakhically incorrect. Even though you did it correctly, you had in mind not to, it invalidates the meat of the korban as well. So again, you have this big thing of meat, and two additional pieces fall in. One is katshei kedashim, which is only allowed to a kohen, and the other is a piece of either pigul or nosar, which is not allowed to be eaten by anyone. Now, the key here is that each one on its own might be nullified by the original meat. Meaning there was enough meat in the original pot to nullify the Karchei Kedushim on its own, and there was enough meat in the original pot to nullify the Pigel or Nosar on its own. But together, the Karchei Kedushim and the Pigel Nosar, together, there would not be enough meat to nullify them. So what's the lecha? What's the status of this meat dish? Says the Mishnah, Asr l'zarim u'matr l'kohanim. The same thing that we've seen. It is not allowed to zarim, to non-kohanim, but it is allowed to kohanim. Why is it not allowed to zarim? Because either way, both of those things were not allowed to be eaten by a zar, by a non-kohen to begin with. Pigel and Nosar is not allowed to be eaten by anyone, and the Karchei Kedushim is only allowed to be eaten by a kohen, not a non-kohen. So either way, those things are not allowed to be eaten by a non-kohen, and therefore they do combine to not be nullified, let's say, to give flavor to the dish, and therefore a non-kohen would not be allowed to, because there's enough non-kohen food that gave flavors to the dish, or that wasn't enough to be nullified at least. But it's allowed to kohanim because one of those things was allowed to a kohen, right? The Karchei Kedushim was allowed to be eaten by a kohen, and therefore the other part, the pigel and nosar, that will not combine with the Karchei Kedushim because they're not the same thing anymore because the kohen's allowed to eat of the Karchei Kedushim. Therefore, the pigel and nosar is on its own, and therefore it'll be nullified, at least from the Kohen's perspective, it'll be nullified by the rest of the meat in that dish. Meaning for a Kohen's perspective, there isn't enough meat that is usher to the Kohen in the dish not to be nullified, and therefore the Kohen would be allowed to eat it. I hope that's clear. It's clear in my head, but I'm not sure if I'm saying it clearly. And finally, exactly as we'd expect, Rabbi Shimon Matir Lazarim Vilakohanim, Rabbi Shimon would say, no, everyone's allowed to eat it, because again, Rabbi Shimon would only say, says that things only things that are identical can combine. It would have to be exactly the same type of meat, and it would have to be the same isser. They both have to be Karchei Kedushim, or they both have to be Pigel or Nosar in order for them to combine. If they are different, it doesn't matter that they share some similar properties and that they're both Usar Tzarim. Either way, in that case, they cannot combine, and anyone would be allowed to partake of that meat. Tomorrow, we will continue or finish Perek Beis and begin the third Perek of Maseches Orlah.